How many lovers have you made today? Chapter 1, Part 2. Celestia and Luna are in the royal bathhouse as they bathe, both deep in thought. Since they woke up, they'd been thinking over various ideas for approaching Anon. Not many have stuck, and as time goes on, decent ideas have become few and far between.
Oh, is there really no other option?
Celestia finally cries, exceptionally frustrated.
Just ask him?
Luna offers.
I can't just ask him, Luna. Well, perhaps we are complicating things too much. Why not just be upfront?
Celestia rolled her eyes.
Anon may be understanding, but you know he's easily spooked by new things. Especially when they're so brazenly thrown in his face. No, this must be broached delicately.
Luna can't really argue with that, as she has no idea how Anon will react to the situation.
I suppose you're right.
She rests her head upon her hooves.
So then, dear sister, how should we go about this? Why not just spend time with him, as you normally would, but in various romantic settings?
A new voice suggests.
Well, that's better than...
Celestia looks over to her right to see Cadence in the bath with them.
Cadence?
Celestia blinks a couple of times.
When did you get here?
Cadence struggles at that.
I've been here for a while. You two were so absorbed in your plans for courting Anon that you didn't even notice me enter. How much have you heard?
Luna asks, disturbed that she allowed herself to be so easily caught off guard.
Oh, just that you want to woo Anon.
Cadence flashes Celestia a winning smile.
I've known how you felt since the party, and I'm very glad to hear that you're finally going after him.
A blush explodes across Celestia's face.
You knew the entire time?
Cadence's smile widens.
I have to say, your raw love energy for him is rather... amazing. Have you always felt this way about him?
This is odd for Celestia. Not only because this is her niece, but because she never really talked much about love until recently with her sister. This is all still new for her, and she admits that despite all of her years, she's slightly blind to the whole concept.
I believe so. I have always cared for Anon, but recently it's grown to be something different. A feeling more intimate. It's thanks to Luna that I've become more aware of what it is that I feel.
Cadence looks over to Luna. She appears to be somewhat ill at ease, as if she doesn't like Cadence being here. She's probably embarrassed.
So you were the first to discover how you felt?
Luna tenses.
Yes, my captain made it clear that what I was experiencing was the feeling of love. So is this the first time that you two have felt this way about anything?
The two sisters nodded. While they have been close to others, their hearts never fluttered then the way that they do now when they're around Anon. However, as Luna starts to think about this entire situation, she finds herself questioning something.
Cadence? Yes?
Cadence turns her attention to Luna.
You know that we both love Anon.
Cadence's brows furrow, pondering to where Luna meant to go with this question.
Of course. Again, the love energy from you two is so potent that it's almost painful to be around. So you understand that we intend to make a herd with him? Oh, I'm no prude, Auntie.
Cadence responds with a chuckle.
I'm all for you both sharing your love with one creature. Love is complicated, and I would never condemn for you wanting to be happy. It makes sense, considering the circumstances.
Luna remembers what Anon told her about Cadence. She's still somewhat upset by that, but she can't deny that Cadence has nothing but the purest intent in mind. Considering that she's young and in love with her own partner, perhaps she could prove useful.
Why?
Celestia chimes in.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but don't you have other business to worry about? Oh, I'm done with my training for the most part.
Cadence then feels her smile fade a bit.
I'll be honest, I feel a bit guilty about some of the things I said to Anon during his party.
This is news to Celestia.
What did you tell him?
Cadence's eyes sorrowfully fell to the surface of the water.
I told him that Twilight was in shambles and he should forgive her. I was insensitive to him and his plight, all because of what I wanted for Twilight.
Cadence dragged her gaze back up to Celestia.
I'm sorry for not having listened to you, Auntie. I should have kept my muscle out of it.
Cadence hung her head low, but is surprised when she feels her aunt wrap her wings around her and pulled her into her chest.
It's all right, Cadence.
Celestia whispers.
I know it must have been hard to see Twilight in so much pain.
Cadence's eyes water as she remembered that night Twilight and her talked in the park.
However, things are better now. Are they not? They are.
Cadence nods. Celestia leans back and brushes away Cadence's tears with a wing.
Come now, there's no need for tears.
She smiles warmly at her niece, Cadence returning the smile with cheer.
So, you wish to help us court Anon?
Cadence brings her hoof to her aunt's.
If you'd allow me.
Celestia looks over to her sister.
Luna?
Luna just sighs and shakes her head.
Fine. I guess we could use the help.
The mood in the room lightens immediately, as Cadence takes a second to compose herself.
Very well. So where do we begin?
Celestia asks.
How about you tell me more about Anon?
Cadence confidently replies. That was an interesting story for Anon to hear. Well, interesting isn't the word that he'd use. Upsetting is a pretty good word to describe what Twilight told him. Trixie is a lovely mare, and hearing about how mistreated that she was in Ponyville angers him. Sure, she's eccentric and egotistical, but that's what a magician is supposed to be. The fact that she was blamed for what two stupid kids did is absurd. Not to mention that her home was destroyed and no one so much as blinked.
I know, it's horrible.
Twilight says, attempting to calm Anon.
This is why I have to talk to her. I've done so much wrong, and now I want to make things right.
As much as Anon hates this, he can't speak for Trixie. It's her decision whether she wants to see Twilight or not. Might as well take a page from Blossom's book. I don't know where she lives, but I do know that she visits my shop often, so you'll meet her there sooner or later, Anon proposes. Well, that should be that, but Anon notices that Twilight's still sitting here. Not only that, but that hesitant expression has reappeared as she rubs one forehoof over the other. That can't be a good sign.
I was wondering if you'd come with me, as a favor?
She asks, and that was the very last thing Anon was expecting to hear from her. Now, it's one thing to be this close for her for as long as he has, but now she wants him to accompany her on this quest of amends. What could she possibly be thinking?
Why?
He asks, a voice low and drawn out. Twilight gets why he's hesitant. The last thing he wants to do is be alone with her after what she did in Ponyville, but she has a good reason for why she wants him there. Twilight rubs a foreleg against the other, her gaze resting squarely on the ground.
I don't want to do this alone. Look, I know you hate me, but that's why I need you. Even if it hurts me, you tell me what I'm doing wrong.
She looks to the grass as she digs her hoof into the dirt.
It hasn't been easy since you helped me. Not even before then. Every pony trots carefully around me, treating me as though I'll break if they say one negative thing.
She then peers into Anon's eyes.
That's not what I need right now. I want to become better. I have to become better. Even if it hurts.
Twilight wants him to help her because he's capable of hurting her? It makes sense to some degree, but Anon isn't too sure about this. If he agrees, he'll be alone with Twilight. If he denies her, then who knows what could happen? She could become worse, or perhaps it won't even matter either way. Then, there's Trixie. Does Anon really want to leave her alone with Twilight? Anon runs a hand through his hair, unaware of the sweat breaking from his skin. Damn it, he doesn't want what he suffered to happen to anyone else, even if there's only a slim chance of something happening again. The fact that there was a chance at all was all the reason to be wary. He doesn't like this, but it's something he must do. Then again, it never hurts to have a little insurance. As long as Blossom's with me, Anon concludes, his tone brooking no argument.
Blossom?
Twilight tilts her head slightly in confusion. Blossom falls from the tree Anon was leaning against and lands beside him. Twilight jumps back in fright as she didn't expect another pony to be there. Wait a second. As Twilight eyes this pony, she instantly recognizes her. It's the Thestral that she ran into once.
Captain Blossom.
Twilight whispers.
You seriously knew I was here?
Blossom asks Anon, ignoring Twilight. I always know when you're around. Anon then reaches over and flicks her nose. Also, stop coming into the royal bathhouse. It creeps me out knowing that you're there watching me.
Well, when the sisters aren't there, I have to protect you. Especially when you're at your most vulnerable.
She asserts with a smirk. Well, at least take a bath with me. It's a lot less awkward. Anon then turns to Twilight. This is Blossom. She's my personal guard. Twilight's eyes rapidly flick between the two.
How long have you been there?
The entire time. Both Blossom and Anon answer.
Oh.
Look, I'll only entertain your favor if Blossom can come. Anon declares, deciding to get back on track. Twilight fully understands why Anon would do this, yet she can't fight the embarrassment from having another pony hear what she plans to do.
I'm alright with her coming.
Anon glances at Blossom. You good? Blossom shrugs.
I just follow you. If you want to help her, then that's your business.
Anon leans against the tree again and closes his eyes for a moment. I'd like some time to reflect on this. Even with Blossom on the table, this is all rather out of the blue for me.
I understand. I have a few other things that I'd like to take care of before leaving the castle anyway.
Twilight stands up.
Send me a message if you accept. We can talk about what to do after that.
Without another word, Twilight leaves Anon alone with Blossom. The guard watches Twilight leave and makes sure that she's gone before turning her attention to Anon.
So, you gonna take her up on that favor?
I don't know, Blossom.
This for the sisters?
She guesses. Little, but you heard Twilight's story. There are others out there, and I don't like the idea of leaving them alone with Twilight. Blossom feels a large smile grow on her face. She crouches down low and suddenly pounces onto Anon's face, hugging the panicking human and burying his face in her stomach.
Oh, you!
Blossom, get off me!
A muffled voice shouts past her fur, Anon attempting to peel the furry nuisance from his face.
You're so cute when you care about others.
Anon tries to get Blossom off of his face, but she's really strong. So he just falls onto his back in defeat, lying onto the grass. He's disgusted by even the idea of being with Twilight for an extended period of time, but knowing that Blossom will be there calms him. Man, he really needs to reconsider whether or not this is worth doing. Then again, does he really have a choice? I wonder if Blossom has a crush on Anon, because I have a feeling that she does, but hey, who knows, I could be wrong.
Now let me name off some of the ponies that are the best in the Royal Guard. Captains Dash of Evergreen, Peter Coulthard, Jake Tin Man, Darkside, and Pony Man. Then we have our corporals. Courier Crucii, Delta Omega, Strix, Runescythe 9852, Dospo, Rhiney Dragonwolf, Hunter Norman, Austin Rowland, Seeker Moon, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brethren Mordred, Cerberus, Goulash Eating Hazar, Starlight Glimmer, Squiddy Boy, David E. Sanchez, Soul Dragon, Gaggy, Trey, Shadow Drake, Joe Piercy, Alex F., Rainbow Dash, TLK Anderson, TV Killer, John Becker, Leon Reynolds, Raven Speedster, Zach Rakow, and Mr. ECU.
Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest, mates.